we're holding by the top of page 58 in Psachim, second line, middle of Ois Nunfes. We were learning about Halal HaGadol, which we had three different opinions. Everybody agrees that Halal HaGadol includes Kapitel Kuf Lamed Vav, which we say in Shabbos morning davening, and if we say in Haggadah, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Lo Olam Chasdei, and there are other 25 psukim that contain that all end with Ki Lo Olam Chasdei, and then we had different opinions of what else is included. We had different opinions that it also includes one or two Kapitel. Before that, there was also, for that matter, there was an opinion that it also, that Halal HaGadol is the Kapitel Hashem Goy Le'eser, Kapitel Chof Gimel, which I didn't mention it last time because I forgot, but Rashbam points out, since it's after benching, then it's an appropriate thing to be saying, Hashem Goy Le'eser, Hashem is my shepherd, I won't lack anything, so therefore, according to that opinion, it's appropriate to be saying that at this point in the HaGadol. So the point is though that Halal HaGadol definitely includes Kapitel Kuf Lamed Vav. So either it's exclusively that Kapitel or it's other Kapitlach in addition. So the Lomen Nikra Shmoy Halal HaGadol. Why is it called Halal HaGadol? Why Gadol? Amar Rav Yochanan Meshut Mepnei Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Berumei Shel Olam. Because Hashem sits in the heights of the world, and Hashem gives out, and Hashem apportions food to every creature. So this is a davar gadol that is as great and as high as Hashem is, that Hashem looks at even the tiniest creatures and makes sure that they have what they need. So therefore we call it gadol in that sense. Marshall points out, by the way, now, you know, the Gemara elsewhere tells us what's so great about Ashrei, about Tehillah LeDavid, that we're supposed to say it multiple times a day, is because it has the Pasuk Peseach HaSyadecha, that Hashem opens up his hand and gives to every creature what they need. And in fact, you have the halacha, you have to have kavana in that pasuk, and if you don't, then you have to go back and say it for kavana, and that it's also according to the order of the aleph beis. So then in that case, Marsha says, Halal HaGadol doesn't have the aleph beis order. So why are we calling it Gadol? Why don't we say that we should say Ashrei at this point in the HaGadol?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Literally, it means Pasek, I said that, but I'm not real, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living creature, but
right.
Especially his children, us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what about the people that are hurting for a wife, hurting for a shidduch, no children, they're sick, et cetera, et cetera, and a geula?
So that's something else. It's a good question. So it's a good question. That gets into the question in general of why it is that there are tzaddikim who have difficult lives and rishoyim who have comfortable lives and so forth. But basically, Hashem opens up his hand and provides. Sometimes you have what it talks about in Chassidus, for example. Sometimes you have where there's a bracha milamayla, but it doesn't come down into gashmius for various reasons. So there's that consideration for one thing. But Hashem does supply. Whether we see it in practice is another question.
Yeah, I know. No,
right.
Only good comes from up above. But
right.
We feel the opposite.
We sometimes do. So that's a whole other question, and not really something that we can really deal with in the format of the sphere. But yeah. Anyway, so Marshall says the fourth is that Ashrei runs according to the order of the Aleph Beis, and the Aleph Beis particularly is associated with Torah. Since we want to have Torah as a prerequisite for davening, as we say, so therefore it's more appropriate to be saying Ashrei, which is according to the order of the Aleph Beis, as a prerequisite before Shemini Esrei. Whereas here we're not talking about davening to Hashem so much. Here we're more praising Hashem that he does all these great things in the world. And in fact, Marsha goes on to say, when you think about it, everything in that capital, all is leading up to this Nosim Lechem L'chol Basar, the next to last pasuk, because you start off with Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Lo'olam Chasdei, Hodu Lo Elokeinu Elokim, Hodu LaAdonai HaAdonim, meaning that Hashem doesn't delegate this to Malachim and to higher power, to other great powers and whatever. Hashem personally takes care of it. So therefore, since now we're saying it after the Suda, and we're saying it on a cup of wine, then this is the more appropriate capital to say. And therefore, so we say it at this point, and we call it Halal HaGadol. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Hani Esrim V'Shisha Kilo. By the way, keep in mind also, I mean, Pesach HaSyadecha is mainly talking about Parnosa. Why it is that people, again, have difficulty in Parnosa is another matter, but other things that you're referring to, health and Shidduchim and things like that, those also come from Hashem, but those are not necessarily being referred to in Pesach HaSyadecha in the first place. It's not the Iker, but that pasuk is focusing on Parnosa. There are actually, you can find Sidurim where they have Sidurim that have things with Tavonos in them. For many Spoudish Sidurim have it, for example. They have a note over there that by the words Peseach HaSiadecha, the Sofitavis of the three words spell out Ches Sof Kof Pasach, which is a name of Hashem that has to do with apportioning Parnosa. So specifically, it's a pasuk that has to do with Parnosa more than anything else. Anyway, so the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Shrubal Levi, Hani Esrim Veshisha Kilo Elam Chastoy Keneged Mi." What are these 26 Kilo Elam Chastoys? Why Dafka 26? So Keneged Esrim Veshisha Doris Shabara Akadosh Baruch Hu Bar Lomoy. They correspond to the 26 generations Hashem created in His world. Balen Nosan Lahem Torah, where Hashem didn't give them the Torah, because the Torah was first given in Moshe Rabbeinu's times, and he's the 26th generation from Adam. And you have Asara Doris from Adam to Noach, another 10 from Noach to Adam, so Adam is the 20th. Then you have Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kohos, Amram, and Moshe, so that brings us to 26. So in those 26 generations, Hashem hadn't yet given the Torah, v'zon oisim b'chastoy, and Hashem sustained them purely with His chesed. So therefore, we repeat 26 times, ki lo'olam chastoy, corresponding to those 26 generations. Marashok points out, first of all, then, what it means is, the Gemara tells in Bava Basra that Rebbe didn't want to give food to Amei Ha'aretz during a year of famine, because it says a person shouldn't be giving his food to an Amei Ha'aretz. And so one of his Talmidim pretended to be an Amei Ha'aretz and then convinced Rebbe to give him food anyway, and then it turned out that Rebbe realized that his approach is not really the right one. But anyway, the same way over here, during these 26 generations, in effect, they were Amei Ha'aretz. So Hashem, by right, should have said, why should they be getting any sustenance from me? And yet Hashem sustained them with His chesed, so therefore 26 times. Marash also points out, now, you know, we have in our Siddur, you look after the 10th pasuk of that capital, you have a yud printed in the Siddur, and after the 5 pasukim later, you have a hey and so forth, and it says in Sefer Minhagim that what it is during the first, when you say in the first 10 pasukim, you should have kavana on the yud of Shem Avaya, and the next 5 pasukim, the hey of Shem Avaya, and so forth. So Marsha relates that actually these 26 generations actually break down like the letters of Shem Havaya. First, you have 10 generations from Adam to Noach, where he finally managed to complete what the Yod of Hashem's name is all about, because up until his time, there were no goodniks, and he's the first one that created a new world. Then what you have is, you look in Parshas Noach, who's the fifth generation after Noach? Peleg. You have Shem, Arpachshad, Shelach, Aver, Peleg, and Kibi Yom of Niflga Ha'aretz. In his times, the world was divided up because they had the Dorot HaFloga. So at that point, you had a separation between Shem Yudkei and Vovkei, which now we have to liachta Shem Yudkei b'Vovkei, as we say every day in Davin. So then Avraham comes 5 generations later, Avraham being 10 generations from Noach, so 5 generations after Peleg. And he started putting things back together. Therefore, in fact, he got the name Hey added to his name. With the extra Hey. And then comes another 6 generations. And then finally, everything was completed. And the Shekhinah was brought back down to earth. And Moshe received the Torah. So therefore, it's not just that the 26 generations, it's not just that the same gematria as Hashem's name, it actually breaks down in the same pattern, Yud, and then Hey, and then, well, then another Hey, and then above. Reflecting those different things that happened in those generations. Continues the Gemara, V'omer Rabbi Shrovan Levi, or Rav Chista, is a different Girsa, my dichtiv, so what does the pasuk mean, hoidu Hashem ki toiv? The question being that, for example, why does it say hoidu, Marashor explains the question is, you would expect it to say, hoidu ki toiv Hashem. Why are you saying Hodu Hashem ki toiv? Because he's good. Why are you putting the toiv afterwards? The Rif over here gives a different explanation that you would expect maybe it to say Hodu Hashem ki toiv. You would expect it to say Hodu Hashem ki lo'olam chastoy. Why does it even have to say ki toiv in the first place? And if for whatever reason you have to say ki toiv, then it should say v'chi lo'olam chastoy. Praise Hashem, that thank Hashem because he's good and because his chesed endures forever. Why ki toiv, ki lo'olam chastoy, as though it's almost like a new thought? So we're going to learn that the word toiv over here actually refers to the good that Hashem previously gave a person. Hodu l'mi, or l'Hashem, shegoi v'choi v'osei, shal odim v'toi v'osei. Hashem gets paid with his debt that a person owes him through the goodness that he previously gave the person. For example, Osher B'Shoray. For example, a rich person, it might be that he himself should be punished with Yisurim, or even worse. Instead, Hashem takes away his ox. Hashem previously gave him the wealth in the form of an ox. Now Hashem takes that away. Similarly, Oni B'Seya, a poor person who doesn't have an ox, but he has a sheep. So Hashem can cause the sheep to die or to get sick or to get stolen or what have you, and that way, like Hashem has collected his debt from this person. Yosin Bebet Sasa, a Yosin may only have an egg and he loses that. Almon of a town of Gilta, a widow might only have a chicken, and in each case, and Hashem may clean up the person's Averis by removing that asset that Hashem previously gave them, rather than having to strike at the person themselves. You have in that connection the famous story the Medrash tells about Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, where one time he asks Eliyahu HaNavi to accompany him on his rounds, and Eliyahu tells him, only if you don't ask any questions. And the first place they go to this couple, this elderly couple who are great machnisei orchem, and they treat them like royalty. And then afterwards, Eliyahu davens that their sheep, or whatever, I think it was a sheep, should die, and sure enough it does, and Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is one cow, I think it was, whatever it was, yeah, and Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is wondering how you talk to him now that you pay him back for the generous Achnas HaSarach in that way, and after a few such incidents of various other things, then Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi can't hold himself back, and he asks Eliyahu what's going on, and Eliyahu tells him, I'll tell you the answer, but now we're going to have to part ways, because you can't be with me anymore if you're going to ask, and he explains to him exactly that, there was a gzera, that the lady of the house is going to die, and instead Hashem called the cow is going to die instead. So that's a perfect example of what we're explaining in the Gemara over here. So that's the key toiv, that Hashem takes the goodness that he previously gave the person. So thank Hashem, that key toiv, with the good that Hashem previously gave the person, that now he takes it back, ki lo olam chaste, and that shows Hashem's chesed in how he treats people. Talking more about parnosa and how difficult it is, Amar Rav Yochanan, and we're saying, again, we have an entire capital, Kuf Lamed Vav, which is all on this theme. Which, again, we have Marshall says that the beginning of the capital, Hodelo Lekeho Lekim, Hodelo Adonim, Adonim, reflects that point that we're saying that Hashem doesn't delegate it to the Lekim and the Adonim. Hashem personally takes care of it. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch makes another interesting point also. He says, if you analyze the capital, you see every pasuk in it is basically a continuation of the previous one. Hodul Hashem ki tov ki lo olam chaste, hodul leila kehar lekim, hodul adonai hadonim. Who is this one? Lo oisin flois gilas levade, lo oisin Hashemayim esvona, lo roi paharetz alamoyim, etc. Each thing is describing another facet of what Hashem does. Then all of a sudden you have noisin lechem lechobosik. It's not lim noisin lechem. It's not the continuation from the first pasuk, thank Hashem, who is the one who gives food, but rather it's almost like an independent statement. So therefore that's like the central point of the entire capital. Anyway, so now Amar Rav Yochanan, Koshin Mezonosah Shel Adam Ki Flayim Kayaleda. The Mezonos, a person's parnasa, is twice as difficult as giving birth. Hashem tells Chava after the Chetei Tadas that with sorrow, with pain, you're going to have children. When Hashem says to Adam that you're going to have to work for a living and then rest the parnasa from the earth, he uses the expression "itzavoin." So Rashbam explains that "itzavoin" is mashma a double etzev. Marsha adds also the point: the langanun is a feminine plural. So it means, in other words, as much as there's a klala on the female that she has a very hard time giving birth, a man has double as much trouble making a living. And one idea of it is, in other words, Eitz Yosef points out over here that a woman is in pain from childbirth. First of all, it's not an ongoing thing, unlike making a parnosa is an ongoing tzara that a person has. And second of all, at least with the birth, you have a happiness with it. You have a new baby, whereas you have a constant worry about it. Omer Rav Elazar, now Rav Elazar also says, Koshin min zonosah shel adam kekriyas yamsuf. The mizonis, the parnasa of a person, is as difficult, so to speak, for Hashem as Kriyas Yamsu. What does that mean? Rashbam says it means, in other words, that you should realize that making parnasa is a tremendous big mess. People think of it as a natural thing. You work a certain number of hours, you make a certain amount of money, and then you have money for food and other things. You should realize what a tremendous mess it is, on a par with or even greater than Kriyas Yamsuf. And therefore, in other words, the person needs to be actually asking Hashem for Rachmanus, that he should be successful and not just take it for granted. There are many other different explanations what it means, in what sense is Parnassa more difficult than Kriyas Yamsuf. Among them is a couple of Mefarshim over here bring up the point that by Kriyas Yamsuf, we know that the Midas Adin was arguing why should the Jews deserve to be saved, Halolo Avodizara, Halolo Avodizara, and Hashem had to, so to speak, overrule that in order to save the Jews and drown the Mitzriim. Well, by Parnassah, it's even more so, because again, you have a lot of people who, by rights, shouldn't deserve to have a Parnassah, and Hashem gives it to them anyway, so therefore, so it's, so to speak, more difficult for Hashem to override that. There's other points as well that Hashem has to, so to speak, reveal more of his plans for the world in that way, things that Hashem would rather keep secret. He has to reveal more, and therefore that's also, so to speak, more difficult for Hashem. Shenema, the pasuk says, Nosim lechem lechol baser, v'samech lev, v'gozi yamsuf v'gzorim. Earlier in that same capital, you have Kriyas Yamsuf. So therefore we see that Nosim lechem lechol baser, which is mentioned later in the capital, is even more important than Kriyas Yamsuf. Now what do you mean, Marashah says, what do you mean, samech lev? They're like a dozen psukim apart. You could say about the same thing, that it's Koshin Mezenosev are like creating heaven and earth, like Makas Mechoris and all the various other Nisim that are mentioned in that capital. So Marashal leaves the question open. In the back of the Gemara, there's one of the Mefarshim called Chochmas Manoyach, one of the early Achronim, a generation or so after Marashal. He says that if you look at the sequence in the capital, he says, when you think about it, earlier in the capital, you have things that are derech hateva, things that happen on an ongoing basis. You would expect that the noisim lechem, the chobaser, being a teva dikta thing, would go over there. Instead, it goes after all the catalog of nisim that Hashem did. Therefore, to stress that it's greater than all those nisim, and out of all those nisim, what was the greatest, what was the one that most broke teva, was Kriyas Yamsuf. So therefore, that's what the Gemara means, that it's greater than that, in the sense it's placed after that whole list of Nisim, culminating with Kriyas Yamsuf. V'amar of Elazar, or Rav Yochanan, Koshin Mezonos of Shaladam Yosim in Agu'ola. A person's Mezonos, a person being given Parnassah, is even more difficult, again, so to speak, difficult for Hashem, like to override his usual plans, more than Ge'ola. We don't necessarily mean the ge'ula of the entire Jewish people. Here we mean the ge'ula that an individual has from his tzaris, which is basically the theme of the bracha re'ena v'anyenum and Shemana Esrei. That bracha we talked about the other day in the Gemara, that we end with the bracha goyal Yisrael, whereas the one before Shemana Esrei and the one at the end of Magid is goyal Yisrael. Here we're talking about the ongoing ge'ula that Hashem constantly saves a person from all his personal troubles. Anyway, so we're saying mizonos are even more difficult, so to speak, for Hashem than that. Deal of the Geula Ksir HaMalach HaGoyal Oysi Mikorra. And we find, Yaakov says, the Malach who saved me from every bad situation, which means Malach Baal Mashem can, so to speak, just delegate that to a Malach to save the person. Deal of the Mizonis Ksir HaRelikim HaRoya Oysi. In the previous passage, Yaakov refers to Hashem who sustained me, implying that it's Hashem himself. And we know the Makeach Shel Geshamim, the key of rain, which is the basic source of Parnassah, is directly in Hashem's hands. So therefore, so Mezonos is, so to speak, so Hashem, something that Hashem reserves for himself, and that's, so to speak, more difficult for Hashem than something that he can delegate to a subordinate, to a Malach. Similarly, actually, Marashah points out, it applies also to the national geula of the Jewish people. In Olam Hazeh, you had previously Umalach, we have the pasuk that we say in morning davening, Umalach Panav Hashiyah. Now Hashem sent a Malach, the Malach of his presence to save them. Whereas then when it comes to the geula, La'asid Lava, that's different. There the same pasuk continues, Ba'avosir V'chem Lase Hu Geulam, that Hashem himself, not through a Malach, will take us out of this current geulus. Continues the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi, going back to this matter of Parnassah and this matter of that we said Hashem told Adam, be sovereign techla, that you're going to have a tremendously difficult time making a living. When Hashem tells Adam that the ground is going to grow thorns and thistles for you, which, by the way, the Medrash says it doesn't just mean thorns and other inedible plants like that. It includes also certain plants that actually can be used for food, but which come with thorns and spikes on them. The Medrash gives, as an example, artichokes. You can't eat them, but they're spiky and you have to prepare them. By the way, you have a different problem with artichokes is the problem with bugs, which is why you won't find artichoke hearts. In particular, you won't find them with a reliable hechsher. They're too difficult on a commercial scale to clean from bugs. If you want to eat them individually, you'd have to, there's a lot of processing that goes into it. But anyway, so when Hashem tells this to Adam Rishon, Zogu Ein of Dmois, his eyes were flowing with tears. He says, Hashem, am I and the donkey going to eat out of the same trough? In other words, if I'm going to be eating Esav Asadah, the grass, the herbs of the field, the same way as the donkeys, so Marsha says, in other words, Adam was concerned that now he's going to, now Hashem is saying, your mentality is going to be like no better than the mentality of a donkey. Because after all, a person, you are what you eat. So therefore, if a person eats animal food, then he becomes more animal-like. As compared to, for example, the Gemara elsewhere tells us that a person eats bread, that brings him das. A cotton doesn't have the das to say, to speak, until he eats wheat bread, and so forth. So Adam was concerned about that, was crying about that. But Hashem then told him, with the sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread. Then he calmed down and he realized that Hashem is not intending that he and the animals are going to eat the same food, but rather that he's going to be on a higher level and have a more refined kind of food, more appropriate to his refined state. So Rish Lakish says, we're very fortunate that we didn't remain with that original thing. If we had to remain with V'chalta as Eis V'asadah, then we'd be no better than the animals. However, Abaya says we haven't completely escaped that. After all, there are certain herbs that we eat naturally as is, and in that sense, we are eating food similar to the animals. So we're not completely out of it, but we have specific human food as well. Marsha brings a different girsa that you had in older. So the girsa that we have in the printed Gemara is Nashrenu Shaloya Manu Marishon. The girsa that Ein Yaakov has, which Marsha says you can also find in older manuscripts of the Gemara, is Ashrenu Im Amadnu Marishon. We would have been better off if we remained with the original. So then Marsha says, points to that, Rish Lakish is saying, Halavai, we would have remained with the original situation before the Chet Tadas, where Parnosa is so easy. They can eat they can eat whatever they want except for the Chet Tadas, and they get it without Tircha. So then Abaya is saying that the fact is there are some things. Hashem still gives us a certain degree of that in that there are certain plants that we can eat naturally without a lot of Tircha involved. So according to that, Girusa, in other words, it's the other way around. Rish Lakish is saying that if only we still had that way of being able to eat things without Tircha, and Abaya is saying the fact is we still do have some, whereas the newer Girusa, as you find in printed Gemaras, is the other way around, that Rish Lakish is saying it's a good thing we didn't keep with that Zera of Evachalta, as Esav Asadah, and Abaya is saying we're still not completely free of that, because there are certain herbs that we eat. Okay. More about the difficulty of a person's mezonos. Amar of Shizbi Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Koshim is a noise of Shaladim Kriyas Yamsuf. Like we said before, a person's parnasa is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf, which, as the Rashbam said, that means that a person should realize it's a tremendous nest from the Eveshter and daven for Rachman for it and never take it for granted. Now, before we learned it from the Psukim in Howl HaGadol. Now he says we have a different source for learning that pasuk. Shenema, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, it's an after, it's in one of the afterdos of Shivat in Nechemta, the after of Etev, I think. Mihar tsoya li paseach v'goymer. The tsoya is quick to open up. Tsoya has a few different meanings. One of them is it means the prisoner. So the prisoner is quick to open up. And the pasuk continues, his bread won't be lacking. And in fact, now, and the uksiv, and the next uksiv basra, and the next pasuk continues, I am Hashem, your God, who stirred up the sea and its waves were crashing. So before we went to Kriyas Yamsuf, when the waves are crashing, ready to crash down at any moment and drown everybody, and Hashem is holding them back for Kriyas Yamsuf. So we see the pasuk is comparing that to v'lo yechsalachmo, that a person is not lacking bread.
To mean that a prisoner is quick to open up.
In other words, Hashem is quick to open up the prisoner when Hashem decides it's time for him to go. But now we're going to see another meaning of this miyat tzor le'paseach. So that also you have noisim lacham luchabasa v'samachal that goes yamsif l'gzorim, like we said before, that you have the pasuk in Halal HaGadol, that Hashem provides food to everybody, to all flesh, and also that Hashem split the yamsif. So for Omer of Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, or on the bottom over here, it says that there were other printed editions where the Gira says, Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Koshin Mizanoisev on the Kovav Shal Adam Ki Yom HaMisa. When a person has trouble with his orifices, when a person can't go to the bathroom, he's constipated, that is as difficult as the day when a person dies. Shenema Mir Tsoya Li Paseach V'lo Yomus L'Shachas. Because the passage continues, and that same pasuk says that Tsoya is quick to open up the lo yomos l'shachas, so he won't die and go down to the grave. So the point is, Marashah says the word Tsoya, Mephoshim on the pasuk explained that the word Tsoya, among other things, can be a prisoner. So therefore, it can mean the person who's in prison, bound up, and can't defecate. But here also, Marashah says we're doubting in the word Tsoya with an ayin, as if it was Tsoya with an aleph. So miyot tsoy oli paseach. The tsoya is quick to exit and to go out, and therefore v'lo yomos l'shachas. Therefore, the person won't die, implying that as long as he's constipated, then he's on. What he's experiencing is a semblance of misa. And again, the point would be, in other words, that when a person is in that situation, not to you know, should be taking medicine for it, but more to the point, you should be davening to the Eibishter to be saved from that situation. And it also means, you know, when a person is saying Asher Yotzer, when things are working normally, you should have in mind the chesed of the Eibishter, that everything is working normally when you consider how many people for whom it doesn't, then. So for Omer of Elazar ben Azariah, caution the cover of Shalom, Kiyama Misa, Uki Kriyas Yamsuf. In fact, this business of a person's openings being able to go to the bathroom is as difficult, so to speak, difficult for Hashem to arrange, like Yom HaMisa and like Kriyas Yamsuf. Because again, we have the comparison. He won't go down into the grave. And then Hashem, it talks about Hashem stirring up the sea and the waves of it are crashing. So we see, in other words, that there's a comparison between Miyat Soya Lipaseach, where Hashem allows the Soya to open up and go forth freely, and there's a comparison with Yom HaMisa, and a contrast with Yom HaMisa and with Kriyas Yamsuf. So we see that having the Kovim work normally, and like we say in the Bracha, and everything works properly, is as great a nest as Kriyas Yamsuf, and as great as when a person is saved from death.
Yeah, when it's not working properly.
When it's not working properly, then we're saying that's similar to it's a semblance of death. Caution ki Yom HaMisa. And then when it does,
bleeding paralyzed to wake you up.
Yeah. Some more drushes, since we're mentioning drushes of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Psukim. So the Gemara brings another one. Amr of Sheshes, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, call him a Vazes HaMoyedos, anybody who disrespects the Moyedos. The Rashbam explains that it means that he does Malacha on Chol HaMoyed. Now you have, of course, the rules in that are discussed mainly in Masechet HaMoyed Katan of what you're allowed and not allowed to do during Chol HaMoyed. There are certain categories of work and certain circumstances of work that you're allowed to, but otherwise a person stam just works on Chol HaMoyed as if it was a weekday. That's called Mevazeh HaMoyedus. The Rambam gives another explanation of it. It means that he doesn't honor Yom Tovim with sudas, with food and drink. Anyway, such a person, ke'ilu oivid avodah zarah, as if he's worshipping avodah zarah, and we see that also from a smichos of psukim. Shenemar, the ke'masecha loisasalach, the pasuk says, this is the kriya that we read on Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, Pesach, and Sukkot. It says, don't make for yourself gods out of molten metal. Uchtib basres, chag hamatzes tishmer, and the next pasuk continues, observe the chag hamatzes. Which actually from there is one of the psukim that we learn the concept of not working on Chol HaMoed. So we see that there's a connection between them. What is the connection? Maharsha explains elsewhere. This Gemara is also in Makkos. He explains, for example, with Yeravam, he changed the date of Sukkot. He made, and once he set up the Egla Azov, that there's going to be a Yom Tov of Sukkot instead of on the 15th of Tishrei, he put it on the 15th of Cheshvan, and that was associated with his setting up of a Zorah in Eretz Yisrael. So one thing leads to the other, because the Yom Tovim, after all, are times to acknowledge that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and gave us the Torah and so forth. So when a person desecrates and disrespects those Yom Tovim, then already he's on the road to, he's on the road to Avodah Zarah, to denying that Hashem runs anything in the world at all. V'omer of sheishes meshum rav lozman azayah, kolam is sapper loshen hara, anybody who speaks loshen hara, v'cholam akabal loshen hara, or whether he accepts it, meaning that he accepts that it's true, which is a wrong thing. Now, that Rashbam points out, based on a Gemara and a Nidya, a person shouldn't accept uncritically that it's true. He should be choishish for it, though. The Gemara mentions in Nidya, for example, that Gedaliah ben Achikam, when he was told that Ishmael ben Nesanya is gunning for him, he should have at least taken precautions, and the fact that he didn't, Pasuk blames him for that, for the fact that he ended up getting assassinated, and all of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael before ended up leaving and moving to Mitzrayim, and terrible things happened and whatever. Adi Amazeh, of course, we have some Gedaliah to commemorate that. In a way, it was Gedaliah's fault for not at least taking precautions when he's told that Ishmael ben Nesanya is coming for him.
I thought Achille wasn't supposed to listen to it at all.
So the vote is, that's what the Gemara says over here. L'kabuli, you're not supposed to accept it, that it's true. However, l'meichash miboya, but you should take precautions just in case it is true.
So now you know that
it's not so simple. There is an entire sefer on the halachos of lashon hara, the famous sefer Chofetz Chaim, and you learn that sefer, and you go into you find a lot of these details that people don't commonly know. So now when a person, though here we're saying when he's makabel lashon hara, meaning that he accepts it uncritically, or if he testifies falsely against another yid, all those cases, he deserves to be thrown to the dogs. And Marashah explains elsewhere, it means particularly his body deserves to be thrown to the dogs after he dies. He said, the Pasuk says that today for meat you throw to the dog, and the next Pasuk says, don't bear a false report, which you can read the word as lois sisa, you should not bear it, meaning you should not be telling lashon hara, eidus sheker, and also lois sasi, you should not cause it to be told, namely when you makabel it, when a person is makabel lashon hara, then it encourages the other person to say it more. Rashbam actually says maybe we shouldn't be gurdus these words lois sasi, because it's really not necessary. Lois sisa all by itself includes that a person shouldn't be speaking or accepting lashon hara or saying eidus sheker. You don't really need an al tikri in order to douch in this point. Anyway, what's the connection? Ion Yaakov points out over here. We find the dogs by Tzias Mitzrayim didn't bark. They knew how to hold their tongues. So therefore, this character over here doesn't know, these characters that we're describing in the Gemara, they don't know how to hold their tongue. Therefore, they deserve to be eaten by the dogs. Agav, by the way, worth mentioning a very interesting point that one of the Mefarshim, I think it's the Chizkuni, says on why does the Torah say Lakelef Tashlichu Noisei by Tzrei for meat? So the standard explanation we're all familiar with from Rashi is just that they were quiet by Tzrei for time, so the Eved just says reward them. One of the Mefarshim, I think it's the Chizkuni, says a very interesting point also. He says, you know, people use dogs as sheep dogs to help watch and take care of their sheep. So then, and the dog, among other things, you know, there are constantly wolves and other dangers that the dog goes on a dog's version of Mesiras Nefesh and goes and fights them off. So what happens once in a while? It happens that the dog doesn't manage to, and a wolf comes in and tears up a sheep, and there you have Tzrefa. So the shepherd is apt to say, well, why should I reward the dog with the meat from it? After all, he failed at the job. Abed, the Torah is telling him, show a little gratitude for the fact all the other times that the dog put its life on the line to save your sheep, and reward it by giving him this one time, even though he messed up, but reward him and give him the meat. Okay. So the Gemara asks, v'chime'achad di'ika halal ha'god. Now, given that we have Halal HaGadol, and we just said how important it is, that it focuses on the fact that Hashem gives food to every creature, and not my time, I mean, and hi. So, Taka, why do we ever say the regular Halal HaMitzri, the one that we say on Yom Tovim, and as we learned before, our called Sodor Shalai Tovay Al Tzibur, and so forth. So, why don't we always just say Halal HaGadol? The answer is, Amar Rav Yochanan, Pnei Sheyesh B'Chamisha Dvarim, because there are five fundamental things that are described in Halal HaMitzri that are important for us to keep in mind. Elohim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, or Kriyas Yamsuf, or Matan Torah, or Tchias HaMesim, V'chevloi Shal Mashiach, the troubles that are going to be before Mashiach comes. Marsha points out, when you think about it, so we have the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, those Yud Gimel Ikrim, now not all Rishonim agreed, by the way, that those are the Ikrim of Yiddishkeit. Some argued there should be more, some argued less. The Sefer Ikrim says they basically boil down into three main Ikrim. That Hashem exists, that Hashem gave us a Torah, and that Hashem rewards and punishes. All the 13 Ikrim, he says, can be seen to be branches of those. So now, Maharsha says, of the five things we're listing over here, Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf show that Hashem exists and that he runs the world and can alter Teva as he wishes. Matan Torah is exactly that Hashem gave us Torah min HaShemayim. Tchias HaMesim we have, this is the fourth thing over here, Tchias HaMesim, is Tchias HaMesim, and Tevle Mashiach refer to the reward and punishment, the fact that Hashem rewards people, and if they didn't have their full reward in Olam Hazeh, and they come back to Tchias HaMesim, and Chevle Mashiach refers to the fact that you have a person, so he explains actually the pasuk in Hallel, we have Hemantiki Adabra Ania Nisimoid, Ania Marti Bachofsi Kaladim Koziv. So he explains the pasukim mean like this, Hemantiki Adabra, I thought that I automatically deserved Chias Amesim because Ki Onisimoid, because I went through terrible tsaris in this world. And then Ania Marti Bachofsi, then I thought in my haste, you know what, everybody's going to be Zoychate. But no, Kola Odom Koziv, that's not true. That's not because not everybody is Zoycha to Olam Hazeh and to Olam Haba. The Rosh already receives it in this world. So therefore, this matter of Chevle Mashiach is also part of the system of reward and punishment that Hashem has. So therefore, these five ideas that we're mentioning over here encapsulate in them the three major, the three fundamental ideas of Yiddishkeit from which branch out all the Yud Gimel. So where do we see it? It's Mitzrayim, Tachtiv, Betzeis, Yisroel, Mitzrayim. Kriyas Yamtuf, Tachtiv, Ayom, Rav, Ayonis. The sea saw that the Oren of Yosef in particular and ran away and split. Matan Torah, Tachtiv, Ahorim, Rok, Ducha, Ilim, Gvoris, Kivnetzoy. And the pasuk continues, the mountains danced like rams and the hills like young sheep. That refers to, for example, by Matan Torah, where we know where the different mountains came, each one arguing, the Tover and Carmel in particular, and arguing that the Torah should be given on me, and Hashem chose Har Sinai, so those words, Horem Rok Duchelim, is referring to that event. I'll walk before Hashem in the lands of the living. So Maharsha points out, in the plural refers to Olam Hazeh as well as Olam Haba. So we have Tchias HaMesim is referred to. And Chevle Shamashiach, Dichtiv Loilonim Hashem Loilonim V'Gomer. We say, don't do it for our sake, Hashem, not for our sake, but L'Shim Chatein Kovet. That's referring to Mochemes Gog and Magog and the various other troubles that precede the time of Mashiach that were asking Hashem to save them from him for his schus. V'Amar Rav Yechanan Loilonim Hashem Loilonim Zur Shivu Golius. This refers to the fact that we're enslaved to the Goyim in Golus, so we're asking Hashem to save us from that in order to prevent a further chil Hashem. Ikadamri Toniu Amar Rav Yechanan Loilonim Hashem Loilonim Zur Mochemes Zem Mochemes Gog and Magog. That it refers on a more particular level to Mochemes Gog and Magog. That again, we're asking Hashem, we may not have the schusim to be saved from it, but Hashem should save it from us in the schus of His name. So those are five fundamental ideas in Hallel. The Gemara continues, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar, here's another point, a fundamental point which you have in Hallel, which you don't have in Hallel HaGadol, which is what brought us into this discussion, you have the concept that the Rishoyim, or that the Tzadikim, rather, that the Neshamas of Tzadikim are saved from Gehenim. Shenema on Hashem Malta Nafshi. David says, please Hashem, save my soul. So this is also a very fundamental point that we need to stress, and therefore we say that, and not Hallel HaGadol. Another point is in Hallel HaMitzri, you have the concept of Tzadikim going into the fiery furnace and coming out of it. This open nest that happened to Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, and to Avraham Avinu, which we need to highlight. The Yuridos in Dichtiv Loilonu Hashem Loilonu, because when it says Loilonu Hashem Loilonu, and that's referring to what went on when they're being thrown into the furnace. So the words Loilonu Hashem Loilonu Omer Chananya, Kilashim Chatein Kovod Omer Mishael. Mishael continues with the words Kilashim Chatein Kovod, and when it continues Omer Al Chasta Chaval Amitecha, he asks that Hashem should do it for his chesed and for his truth, Omer Azariah. So those words Azariah said. And when it continues in the pasuk, Lomer Yom Ragoyim, Omru Kulam, all of them said that. So Maharsha explained, since you have repetition in the pasuk, then we're understanding that each one of them set a different point, and then the point is, they're saying, Loma Yomirab Goyim, all the Goyim who are watching them being thrown into the furnace, and the Chanetzer who ordered them to be thrown in the first place, why should they think that Hashem, Ayeinu Elokeihem, and therefore Hashem should save us? And in fact, later on in the capital, it continues, Atzabe Agoyim Kesef Bezav, and so forth, referring to, there's the statue of gold, gold and silver, that Nebuchadnezzar wanted us to bow to, and we refused, and that's why we're being thrown into the furnace, and that statue is nothingness, so therefore Hashem should save us from having been thrown into the fire because of that.
Didn't Rabbi say we already had the war of Gog and Magog?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know, that's Rabbi Sol talk about World War II being Machamas Gog and Magog, yeah. Yeah, it should be Shalom Amanas Lass's nest, but they're still entitled to ask Hashem for a nest. They should just depend on it as a given that it's going to happen. They tell Nebuchadnezzar exactly that. Nebuchadnezzar says, what, you think Hashem can save you from me? And they say, Hashem can save us, but whether he does or not, we're going there. Ion Yaakov, by the way, points out that each of the names over here refers to what they're asking for in the pasuk. Hanania is Maloshin Chachina, Chanina, Matnas Chinam. So he's saying, Lo Yilonu Hashem, not in our Zchus. Mishael, which is Maloshin She'ela, he says, Ki Lashim Chatein Kovet, we ask that Hashem should give honor to his name. And Azariah, which means Hashem helps, asks Al Chastecha Al Amitecha, that Hashem should help us with his great chesed and with his great chesed and rach. So therefore, so all of that then is encapsulated in the pasuk in Hallel, and therefore Hallel is an important thing to say. And then, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with more about Sukkim in Hallel that was said by Hanani Mishael Azariah on that occasion. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gola, Zayin Cheshvin. So the Rebbe was talking about the greatness of Kiddush Levana. Chazal tell us, as we know, we say in Kiddush Levana that when a person benches the Chodesh in its time, Kilo Makabel Pnei Shechina, because in Golos we're not able. So Meforshim explained, because in Golos we're not able to be Zoicha Veroy Pnei Shechina. We're distant from being able to see the Shechina. But when we see the renewal of the moon, that's a simon for the Jewish people that we will be renewed and refreshed like it. Lefor LeYotzram, that will be able to praise and glorify Hashem by welcoming the Shechina. So therefore, when we bench the Chodesh Bizmanai, then it's actually a simon that the Shehem Asidim Sadish Kamosa, and it's as if we're Makabel Pnei Shechina, and therefore that's the greatness of Kiddush Levana. Continuing with halachas of Shabbos, we were talking about what you're allowed and not allowed to have a goy do for you on Shabbos. So far we mentioned a number of criteria that you need in order to have a goy do work for you on Shabbos. We said it has to be that he takes it out of your house before Shabbos, that you establish before Shabbos how much you're going to pay him. The next thing was it has to be that you're not hiring him by the day or by the hour, but rather you're hiring him by the job. Another point is also that you can't tell him specifically that he should be doing the work on Shabbos, or to give it to him in a way where he, for example, you tell him I need it right after Shabbos, and there's no way he's going to be able to do it unless he does the malacha on Shabbos. So he gives examples over here. Let's say, for example, you're sending a letter with a courier and telling him it has to be by such and such a date, and the only way he's going to make it there would be traveling on Shabbos. And other examples, for example, you want a goy to go buy something for you by a fair where you know they're only selling it on Shabbos. Different things like that. A modern example would be, let's say, you bring in your car to a place to repair, and you tell them you need it right after Shabbos, and you bring it to them shortly before Shabbos, let's say, and you tell them I need it right after Shabbos, and there's no way they're going to be able to do it unless they actually do the malacha on Shabbos. So such a thing would be also. Now there is, you give it to him on Erev Shabbos, and you give it to him earlier, and you don't tell him to do it on Shabbos, so then that's less of an issue, because then he could do it before Shabbos or after Shabbos, as the case may be. If he chooses then to do it on Shabbos, that's his business, that's not your concern. I'm Chanan Ben Akash, I'm Mitzvah Kodesh Baruch Hu Zachas Yisrael.